It's good to have you here today as we gather on this Memorial Day weekend. It's also Ascension Sunday in the church calendar. It's a special high holy day in the church calendar. It's good to have you here with us. If you're visiting with us, we extend a special welcome to you. If it is your first time here, we invite you to take a welcome card from the pew rack in front of you. We ask to fill the card out and place it in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. This is a sort of transition day today, sort of the end of a program year. The sanctuary choir goes on recess after today, so we're enjoying two anthems, I believe, today from the choir, so we're looking forward to that. And then they'll be having the summer off. Also, our Sunday school will be concluding today as well for the summer. But it's good to have those programs, and we'll be moving into summer mode, but we will be staying in the sanctuary through the month of June. I was looking at the schedule this morning, and we have something special going on each worship service each Sunday in June. So we just want to make sure that you're here for those special services. We have communion next week, and the following week we have baptism. The following week we have Right Hand of Fellowship, where we're taking new members in. And the final Sunday in June we'll be having dedication of parents and children. So it is a special time in the life of this church. Call your attention to the back page of the bulletin for the calendar this week. I will not read it to you, but just call your attention to it. I do want to point out that next Sunday is Pentecost, and the liturgical color, the church color, is red, and that's often sometimes called Red Sunday, and so you are invited to wear an article of red clothing next week if you would like to, and showing our Christian faith by wearing red on Pentecost Sunday. Also, we started receiving our gifts to the One Great Hour of Sharing offering. We'll be hearing more about that in a little while. But so far, we have received $206 toward our goal of $800. So thank you to those who have given already and those who may be considering. There are two inserts, pink inserts. They are different, about different places that our One Great Hour of Sharing money has helped in recent times. At this time, I invite you to turn in the bulletin for our responsive call to worship. Let us read responsively. From shore to shore,
let God's praise be sung.
From mountains high to valley low,
let the echo of praise resound.
From the mouths of children, youth, and adults,
let thanksgiving abound.
For great is our God. Our opening hymn this morning is God of Our Fathers, number 758 in the blue hymnal. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Lord, you did call us sorry.
Let us pray. We hold up before you, our Creator, all of our loved ones who have passed from earth into eternity. Especially we remember those who have laid down their lives that others might live. Keep them in our memories, keep them in our hearts, and grant us the assurance that we shall be reunited around the Father's throne. We ask this in Jesus' name and now pray as he taught, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Be seated. And for our moments for mission today, I believe Mrs. Cynthia Huddy will be doing that.
Last week, Martha mentioned some of the problems that the mission board, this offering helps with. Today, I'm going to list some of the places where we were specifically helpful. Around the world, in China, flood relief, Cuba, Hurricane Matthew relief, Democratic Republic of the Congo, tornado relief, Ecuador earthquake relief, Haiti severe storm, floods, and Hurricane Matthew relief, India cyclone relief, Japan earthquake relief, Lebanon refugee relief, Mexico asylum seekers relief, Ukraine civil conflict relief, and Zambia refugee relief. And in our own country, Iowa First Baptist Church Plainfield flood relief, Indiana, Brookston Federated, storm relief. Kentucky, American Baptist Churches of Indiana, Kentucky, tornado relief. Louisiana, American Baptist Churches of the South, Baton Rouge, flood relief. And I believe there's an insert today in your calendar on that. Michigan, ABC of Michigan, Flint water crisis. Nebraska, Belmont Baptist Church, arson relief. New York, the historic Parcells Church flood relief, and Lovell Baptist Church plant shutdown. Oklahoma, Bacon College flood and tornado relief. South Carolina, Church World Service Hurricane Matthew relief. West Virginia Baptist Convention flood relief, and various American Baptist Men national disaster response. So you see, we've been everywhere and done everything, so please give.
Thank you, Cindy. The one great hour of sharing offering is often considered to be the disaster relief offering, that we are there, when there are disasters. And it is one way of where we can't go maybe physically to worship or to work someplace or to minister, that we can be sending our money. And we don't have to always do a special appeal, because through the one great hour of sharing offering, several congregations through Church World Service already has funds to go there. At times when there is a terrible tornado or a hurricane, we will have a special appeal for money that will specifically go to that crisis. But it's not, one great hour sharing, it's not just disaster relief, it's also resettlement. It's teaching people how to grow their food so they will not be dependent on handouts as much. It's just making people live a better, safer in this world. So I encourage you to consider your gifts to the One Great Hour Sharing offering. If you need an envelope, there are special envelopes in the pews. We'll be receiving this basically through next Sunday, and we're done promoting. So please consider your gift to the One Great Hour Sharing offering. And at this time, Mrs. Nowak is teaching today, and teacher and students may go to their Sunday school class.
Just a very short word about this short anthem that we're going to sing. It was written in 2001 as a response to 9/11 by an American Baptist woman, organist, choir director, holds a doctorate in sacred music in Rhode Island. Her name is Martha Sobhaji. And I had the privilege of meeting her prior to 9/11. When she wrote this, she sent it out to anyone who'd ever sung with her. We were able to use it with her permission. We can't print the words, though. You have to listen to the words.
Anthem. It is Memorial Day weekend. It is a time of patriotism. It is a time of remembering our loved ones and especially those who have served our country and lost their life in battle. We want to remember those folks today especially. As we come to a time of prayer, a few other folks I want to mention. We want to remember the family of the Reverend Dick May, who he and his wife Doreen were members here for many, many years. And he passed away this week, and his funeral was held yesterday at a church in Linfield. And I understand that Richard and Doreen Freeman were able to go, and there were hundreds of people there to pay tribute to him. So we want to remember the family of Reverend Dick May today. Also, we want to remember Chandru Mutharajan. Chandru and Sugantha are missing from the choir, and Chandru has been in India for his brother's wedding and is traveling. I think he's traveling back now, so we want to keep... He'll be home on Tuesday, so we want to keep Chandru in prayers as he's traveling from India. And if anybody that has done any world traveling, it's a long trip, but we want to keep him in prayer. And I know Sugantha is with friends today out of state, so I want to keep them in prayer today. Also, I understand there's a woman here named Milani from Haiti, and she has asked for prayers. She needs to work. She needs a job, so we want to keep Milani in prayer today. Do you have any requests for prayer, either celebrations or concerns you'd like to share with the church family? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up something I've mentioned or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together.
Thank you.
Eternal God, you are the Lord of life. And on this weekend of remembrance, during the service of worship, we give you thanks for the lives of people whose passing reveals to us the value of this life that you have granted us. As we recall their lives, teach us so to number our days that we may use wisely the treasure of time that is given to us. We remember those who, like our Lord Jesus Christ, willingly gave their lives for the sake of others. For example, firefighters who braved the terrors of flame, peace officers slain in the line of duty, military personnel who sacrificed their futures for our freedom, ordinary citizens who instinctively reacted with heroism in a crisis, martyrs who valued truth and justice above life itself. Grant us a measure of their passionate dedication to life, that we may face our own challenges with courage and resolve. We remember those who died too soon, with so much living yet undone, the victims of disease, the casualties of accidents, the victims of crime, those who by their own hand ended a life they could no longer bear. Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may fully appreciate the time we have. We also remember thankfully those who, just by their being, showed us the power of faith, hope, and love. For mentors and teachers, for grandparents, aunts and uncles, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, for faithful friends and lifelong companions. Reach through the emptiness left by their passing to draw us more closely to you, O God. Teach us to number our days so that we do not fuss over unimportant things, or delay expressing our love and respect. Grant us strength to honor the memory of our loved ones by living each day remaining to us with courage and compassionate service to others. Grant us grace to entrust our loved ones to your undying love until that day when all hearts are mended, all families united, all lives restored. We ask this all in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. On patriotic holidays, we often remember and think about the wonderful blessings that we have and the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. So one of our freedoms is our freedom to worship as we wish. And part of our worship service every week is saying thank you to God with our voices, through song and prayer, but also saying thank you through our tangible gifts of offerings. At this time, the ushers will receive the morning offering.
Thank you.
pray together. Lord, we are so thankful of the privileges and the freedoms that we have in this country. One especially is to worship as we wish. And Lord, as we have chosen to be here this day to worship you, we thank you for that opportunity. We thank you for those that have protected that right for us. And now, Lord, as we present these tithes and these gifts to you, we say thank you with these gifts and pray that you would bless these gifts and bless us as we share the good news of the freedom that Jesus Christ offers, the new life that he offers. We ask this in his name. Amen. Seated. Dottie Latta is our lay leader today and will be reading the scripture.
Good morning. The scripture this morning is Acts 1, verses 6 to 14. When the apostles met together with Jesus, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time give the kingdom back to Israel?" Jesus said to them, "The times and occasions are set by my Father's own authority, and it is not for you to know when they will be. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power, and you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up to heaven as they watched him, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They still had their eyes fixed on the sky as he went away, when two men dressed in white suddenly stood beside them and said, "Galileans, why are you standing there looking up at the sky? This Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you saw him go to heaven. Then the apostles went back to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is about a half a mile away from the city. They entered the city and went up to the room where they were staying. Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Patriot, and Judas the son of James. They gathered frequently to pray as a group, together with the women, and with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Dottie. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard this morning the account in the book of Acts of Christ's ascension, on this Ascension Sunday, Lord, it's been over 40 days since the tomb was found empty. And Lord, we've had Jesus walking and talking among us, and now he has gone to heaven to be with you. And now we need to realize what our job is here on earth. Just as the disciples, those first followers, saw him ascend into heaven and then retreated back to the upper room to sort out, you know, what he had taught them to do, what they were to do next. Lord, we are that today. We are waiting for your marching orders. We're waiting to hear a message from you for what we should be doing as we leave this worship service today. So we pray, O God, that our hearts and our minds will be open to receive a word from you that will help us be more faithful in our discipleship. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Love it or hate it, we live by our calendars. And our calendar might not look just like this, but there was a time when many of us carried them in our pockets, briefcases, or purses, and probably a smaller version thereof. But paper calendars showed us when we had to be where. The thing was, sometimes we had one at home, sometimes we carried one with us, sometimes we had one at work, and we had three or four calendars that we had to always sync together and match up and make sure that we had to check all of our calendars before we committed ourselves to something. But then came the digital revolution. And many people traded in their leather-bound planners for PDAs, or personal digital assistants. And then Steve Jobs and the people at Apple combined the PDA, the cell phone, and the MP3 player into a smartphone. And while we might have left our paper calendars or electronic PDAs at home on a Sunday morning, today most of us have our calendars with us in worship if we carry a phone, a cell phone, or a smartphone. Digital calendars can do things that our paper calendars never could. They remind us of things we need to do based on our time and or our location. For example, we might say, Siri, Cortana, Alexa, Google, depending on what we have in our possession, remind me when it is time to leave for my doctor's appointment. And then based on our location and the traffic, our phone can tell us when it's time to leave. Once we put an appointment into our phones, we never have to look at it again. We can simply wait for that little buzz to interrupt whatever we are doing to remind us of what we need to attend to right away or later in the day. Whether it's digital, paper, or in our heads, our calendars tend to drive large portions of our lives. Truth is that we rely on our calendars to organize our lives. From the boardroom to the classroom, it is hard to get by without some idea of what will be happening and when. So imagine how the very first followers of Jesus must have felt about his answer when they asked what was going to happen next. This is the nature of the conversation in today's scripture found in Acts 1. Basically, Jesus is having a final debriefing before leaving on a trip, a vertical and heavenly one. And of course, his followers have questions. Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? The disciples asked. The question makes sense They had been on an emotional roller coaster with Jesus recently. Thinking back for 3 years, they had followed him. They heard him talk frequently about a special time to come. He started his ministry telling them that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, was at hand in their presence. They listened as he told stories about banquets, mustard seeds, and treasure buried in a field that he said were ways of describing this new reality to come. They were with him when he entered Jerusalem several weeks earlier. They saw the crowd waving the palm branches and shouting their praises. By riding a donkey into the city, Jesus was fulfilling a prophecy that announced God's rule and reign. It was a huge statement. Surely, they thought, this must be the time. At the Last Supper, Jesus seemed to confirm it, for he said, "I will not drink the fruit of the vine again until I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom." Next stop, the kingdom of God, they must have thought. But instead of a coronation, there was a crucifixion. And it appeared to be over. Their hopes were dashed. The dream of the restoration of the kingdom seemed to vanish. And they must have been asking themselves, what now? And then, as quickly as it was over, it was back on. Jesus is alive. Hope is not lost. Certainly the kingdom must be coming. And after 40 days of being with the post-resurrection Jesus, during which he continued to teach them about God's kingdom, he calls a very special meeting. Expectations must have been extremely high. What was he going to do? What was Jesus going to say? It had to be the time for him to announce how the kingdom of God will come on earth as it is in heaven, just as he taught them to pray. The question must have hung in the air that day, like questions saturate the space among and between us in some of our interactions. When the company calls an all-staff meeting during a down economy, everyone wants to know, are there going to be layoffs? When the person we're dating says, we need to talk, we want to know, are we breaking up? And when a teenage child enters a room, head down, and says, Mom, Dad, our heart rate accelerates, and we want to know, is something wrong? For the gathered followers that day, the tension is almost palpable. Now? We want to get this on our calendars. If not now, then when? They want to pencil in the kingdom day. They don't want to miss it. They want to know which week they need to clear for this world-altering event. They want to know the deadline, so they'll be sure to be ready. To these questions, Jesus gives a bewildering answer. That's none of your concern. He actually says it more politely, but that's the gist of it. Let me worry about the timing, he seems to say. You just get to work on what you're supposed to do. And then Jesus is gone. The disciples and the rest of the followers are left bewildered, staring into the sky. Their questions still unanswered to their satisfaction. The disciples have a scheduling problem. And for them and for those of us who live by our calendars, Jesus' attitude is frustrating. It's hard to leave things in the hand of God. saying was, let go and let God, that's difficult to do. It's difficult to let God be in control of all the details. It's challenging to trust in divine providence, to be faithful to promises that have been made. How are we to respond? It's not for us to know the times and the seasons. Really? We're programmed to know exactly where we're going to be every moment of every day. How are we supposed to function with so little information? The problem is that the kingdom of God does not fit onto our calendars. Jesus does not give us a list of tasks that we can put in our phones and check them off as we've accomplished them. Instead, he calls his followers to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The timing concerning any ultimate physical expression of the reign of God on earth, he says, is for him to worry about. And in any event, he himself, he admits, he doesn't even know. He had already told his disciples earlier, before the crucifixion, maybe they forgot, that, quote, about that day and hour, no one knows. Neither the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father, end quote. Our concern is to live into the mission of the church and to the call of God in our lives today. It's not about getting ready for some later date. Our role is to be the people of God every day, wherever we are located, and to do what God wants us to do right now. We are not cramming for a final exam. We're not trying to meet a deadline before the supervisor in the sky calls us in for our performance review. This is the here and now. It's an everyday issue. Jesus calls his followers, both those on the hill that day and those of us sitting in the pews today, to live for him at home, at work, at school, in our traveling, while running errands, and wherever else life takes us. That's what Jesus is calling, to be living for him, no matter what circumstance we are in. This includes our calendars and our schedules. It's time to take our calendars, no matter what form they are in, and to consider the time and the activities noted there, and to do something to put them entirely in the service of God and for God's work. This means, of course, including time for worship, prayer and Bible study, performing random acts of kindness, being faithful to our relationship responsibilities, and being flexible enough to respond when God interrupts. And God does interrupt us at times. Sometimes we may even feel that God's messing with our plans and calls us, for example, like Philip and Ananias, as recorded later in the book of Acts, to minister in some totally unexpected way. That's our God of surprises. We may think we've got God all figured out, and all of a sudden God comes to us in some other way and says, I want you to be doing this instead, or in addition to. Whether we've been following Jesus most of our lives, or have just begun our faith journey with him, we're going to have a lot of scheduling problems. We need to get used to it and get over it. It's part of the thrill and the challenge that we call discipleship, following Jesus Christ, being his student, being his hands and his feet and his voice here on earth. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, it would be delightful to spend our days gazing after you up into the heavens, trying to look beyond the mystery to understand where you have gone and when you will return. But instead, it's time for us to be very down to earth, time to be about the mission that you have entrusted to us. Prepare us with your Spirit's precious gifts, that through us our neighbors may experience your love. Equip our fellowship with strong muscles, tough minds, and glad hearts, which delight in serving people in need. Bless us with vision, that we may discover creative ways to extend your compassion to every land, so that when you return, it will be to a people prepared. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Thank you.
Jesus was lifted up and disappeared in a cloud, the disciples asked a question. Were asked a question. Why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come the same way as you saw him go. In the meantime, while we wait for his return, there is work to be done. Let us go to share the love of Christ, to bind the wounds of the brokenhearted, to be peacemakers, to tell what we ourselves have seen and heard, that Jesus Christ offers forgiveness and salvation to all. Amen.